This is WHYY's Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lynn. Mention gentrification and most people think about young white professionals moving into a low-income black neighborhood. That certainly exists in rapidly changing Philadelphia. But those same young white professionals are also moving into low-income white neighborhoods. And those white sections are actually changing faster. WHYY's Aaron Moselle and Annette John Hall try to figure out why.
We all know what the stereotype of gentrification is, right?
Yeah, whites moving into traditionally black neighborhoods and changing things. It often sounds like this.
I used to have a skyline and stuff. Every house they build now is three stories.
That's Rosie. She's 53 and has lived in a rapidly changing neighborhood in South Philly for 30 years. The changes she's seen make her feel like she doesn't belong.
Then they got the young little yuppies. They get drunk and throw cans of beer off the decks.
In Philadelphia, though, the data shows that gentrification isn't all like that. There are also traditionally white neighborhoods that are changing because new white residents are moving in, and more quickly.
East Kensington is a good example of this. Aaron, you spent some time there talking to people, right?
I did. Just quickly for the unfamiliar, East Kensington is a poor white neighborhood that's one of the fastest gentrifying in the city. It's about 3 miles north of Center City, right near the epicenter of Philly's hipster culture, but also really close to the Kensington that most people think of as the epicenter of the city's opioid crisis. That hasn't stopped developers from building big modern houses that often dwarf the row homes next door, or millennial-friendly businesses from popping up. There's a bar specializing in fermented foods and sour beers, and an old warehouse where you can pay to hurl small axes at targets.
All right, guys, tap axes, throw when you're ready.
Excuse me, axe throwing?
Axe throwing. To get some perspective on the changes in the neighborhood, I talked to Jaclyn Blank. After living nearby for a couple of years, she and her husband Aaron moved into a house fixed up through a first-time homebuyer program. She's a teacher, he's an architect. This was about a decade ago now, and back then, it wasn't really a place middle-class people moved to.
Yeah, when we said we were buying just 6 blocks away, they were like, I can't believe you're moving over there. It's dangerous. It's, as if Frankfurt Avenue is this terrible dividing line between good and bad.
Since then, Jaclyn says the neighborhood has changed pretty dramatically. There used to be prostitution and drug dealing on her block. Things also had a habit of disappearing. Her trash cans, the flowers she planted outside the house. Now, she can't remember the last time anything like that has happened.
When I hear people loud at night, like I look out because it used to be like I had to look out and tell them to go away or like they're arguing in the middle of the street or like a gunfire down the street. Now it's just like the drunk kids leaving the bar.
This is obviously anecdotal, but it's also indicative of a neighborhood in flux, and it's change you can quantify. Since about the time Jaclyn moved in, median household incomes and median housing prices in the most gentrified section of East Kensington have more than doubled, and the neighborhood has remained largely white. Another resident, Jamie Gukas, told me he picked East Kensington more than a decade ago for a pretty simple reason. He could afford it. He says race had nothing to do with his decision, but he does acknowledge that other white professionals are probably moving in because East Kensington is a white neighborhood.
That wouldn't surprise me in the least.
And why?
Why? Just because of embedded racism in American culture.
It's no surprise that people want to live among their own. It's about acceptance and commonalities, right?
Right. But to get a sense of the role race plays, we talked to Stanford professor Jackie Wang. She says studies show people think about race when they're choosing where to live, and that people least prefer African American neighbors.
But she says would-be residents aren't the only ones calling the shots when it comes to the racial makeup of a neighborhood.
The developers play a huge role. They're basing their decisions on these types of preferences and stigmas that they know will create more demand.
Kind of like a Field of Dreams scenario, build it and they will come?
Exactly. But in this case, build it and the people who can afford it will come. And in Philly, those people are usually white. That was the gripe I heard in South Philly.
Hi.
I recently crashed a meeting of crossing guards in the Point Breeze neighborhood. That's where I met Rosie. Remember Rosie?
Oh, yeah.
Because we're talking about a sensitive subject, Rosie's not comfortable with her last name being used. She's explaining how much her taxes have risen because of the new construction in her neighborhood.
In 1 year's time, from $800-something to $3,500. I got the letter at home. I was going to frame it because I couldn't believe it.
Developers there have contributed to steady gentrification, and the numbers bear it out. From 2009 to 2016, the median housing price in the most gentrified sections of Point Breeze increased from $110,000 to $235,000. And get this, from 2000 to 2016, the neighborhood went from 80% black to just 46% black.
Wow.
Right? Those numbers are still lower than the rate of gentrification in Kensington. But that's not how black residents see it. They feel like they've been swallowed up by the changes. Debbie Bell, another Point Breeze crossing guard, has lived here all her life and lately feels out of place.
Well, some people that's been here feel a little resentful because they coming in as like more for the new people coming in and the people that's here. It's like, hurry up and get out the way.
That, coupled with out-of-control development, gives people a sense of loss, Debbie says.
Can't park, is construction everywhere. You know, you like, where am I at?
I did speak to white neighbors, like Haley Dervenis. She's lived in the neighborhood for 10 years. She doesn't consider herself a, quote, gentrifier because she's an involved neighbor.
I moved there knowing that I would be a minority, and I wanted that experience, which I understand that is wrapped up with a lot of privilege, even making that kind of statement. But I wanted to be in a place where people worked hard and they were all different and they lived, like, actually in a community of people that looked out for each other.
This new urbanism may be good for those young white millennials looking for a nice place to live.
Yeah, but it may be less beneficial to their new low-income neighbors of either color, especially if they get priced out of the neighborhood. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Aaron Mozell, WHYY News.